All right, let's take time to confess our sins before we begin this lesson. Let us pray. Father, we pray that your Spirit would instruct us as we go through this lesson and as we try to understand the problem of sin and how it impacts our lives, and as we then prepare to learn ways that we can combat this evil force. Thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the sin has allies, and so the topic today, this is lesson 16, is the allies of sin. The group of allies from which sin derives its power represents an axis of evil. These are forces beyond the scope and capability of our will and strength to manage. This co-op of subtle but devastatingly destructive powers wrestles us to the ground spiritually, teaming up to overwhelm us with confusion and wickedness. Their purpose is to rule us, control our thoughts and behavior, and entice us to ignore and dishonor our God. Any of these allies can defeat us easily, but we must face the combined force of all of them working together. For us to think that we can fight these forces on our own is ludicrous to the point of being ridiculous. We need to understand our enemies, and we need to know our limitations before we will be able to get ready to confront them. That is, confront the enemies, which is the allies of sin. The axis of evil includes the world, our sinful nature, and Satan. You might have heard it said, called the world, the flesh, and the devil. We want to introduce each one of these individually. First of all, the world. James 4:4 says, friendship with the world is hatred toward God. Friendship with the world is hatred toward God. Let that register. While 1 John 2:15 and 16 admonishes us with the following. Do not love the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The greatest danger in this place called the world may be found not in sordid, unseemly patterns of behavior, but in our pride and in our boasting. We will see this truth time and again throughout our studies. Pride and arrogance will bring us down faster than anything. Pride is our attachment to the world, and pride is a big sin. It is the gateway to many other sins and puts us in opposition to God. Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. James 4:6 adds, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is found when we are humble, a spiritual posture that has many applications, as we shall see. And when grace flows due to humility, two notable things occur. First, we can resist the devil. We see that in James 4:7. And secondly, God will lift us up. That's in James 4:10. But we need grace to flow. So we need to be aware of these things. The world works closely with the sinful nature and Satan. Love for the world pulls us away from God. And sometimes this happens by imperceptible degrees. Spiritual traps and dangers permeate the world, and we must be prepared to see the ambushes coming and deal with them. All right, the sinful nature. Since the time that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we have received an inherited nature which delights in sin. Galatians 5:19-21 shows us the acts of the sinful nature. Now, we've seen this passage a couple of times already. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. When we sin, as we're going to see this very soon, the sinful nature takes over and becomes the driving force for our behavior rather than God. The propensity this nature has for sin and the strengthening it gets from the world and Satan make it not just a tendency to do wrong, but a dynamic force pushing us toward evil. We are not equipped to control this force by our own strength. And to be sure, this force is spring-loaded to perform sins and acts of self-righteousness. And it will also thwart our spiritual performance and our spiritual progress. This sinful nature is always with us and is right at home in our hearts. 1 John 1:8 tells us that even believers have a sinful nature, and if they say they don't, they are deceiving themselves. For those who think they don't sin, they are in denial about their wrongdoings, and they are calling God a liar. That's according to 1 John 1:10. Paul said of his sinful nature, "I know that nothing good lives in me," that is, in my sinful nature, "for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." That's Romans 7:18. We can accomplish nothing with the sinful nature in charge. That's going to be a very important concept in this course. So, we must find a way to dethrone this tyrant, and we will. Satan, here's the third leg of this axis of evil. Satan is evil. Everyone believes that and accepts that. But he is beautiful, attractive, appealing. From our perspective, he is irresistible. He is also tricky, cunning, deceitful. He makes us believe good is bad and bad is good, and that humanly produced good is the same as divine good. And we'll have more about the difference between those two, human good and divine good, later on. Such is the deception of Satan. Psalm 10:13 asks this question: "Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, 'He won't call me to account'?" One of the reasons is that Satan makes us believe God doesn't really require the things he commands. It causes us to doubt God's word. Satan deceives us the way he did Eve in the garden, and we are just as gullible as she was. Satan queried her with this: "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden'?" That's in Genesis 3:4. Satan will do anything to get us to doubt God and his word, because our application of truth is our greatest weapon against him. The best example of this is in Scripture, in Matthew 4:1-11, where Jesus used God's word to counter Satan's temptations in the desert. If you are moving toward God, and hopefully you are, Satan will throw up roadblocks. And the more you grow, the more we grow, and the bigger a threat we are to him, the more attention Satan will pay to us. But God is greater, and we're going to see this clearly. So we do well not to be deterred by Satan. Satan operates in so many forms and at so many levels. We will see him lurking again and again throughout future studies. We basically underestimate how powerful he is and how much help we need to keep him from overpowering us. More than anything else, he wants us to attempt to fight him by ourselves. When we do this, he will beat us because he is the most powerful being God ever created. We need reinforcements, and these are available, as we shall see. Concluding this, Satan does his work to stimulate sin, and the world welcomes all sinners. But these are not the worst. We have discovered the real enemy, and it is us. We are our own worst foes, and we are occupied by sinful natures, sometimes known as flesh. The enemy is inside of us, and it is deadly. All right, some questions. Number one, what is the axis of evil? Number two, is it possible for us to show hatred toward God? If so, how? Number three, what sin will take us down faster than any other? Number four, do you think Satan works more by direct attack or by stealth? And five, one of sin's three allies lives within us. What is its name? Jeremiah 17:9, now, first of several scriptures. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Galatians 6:8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Romans 8:8. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Things to remember. One of the central themes in all the teachings we will examine in this course is that strength for good comes from God and not from us. Nowhere is the need for something beyond ourselves more apparent than in our dealings with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need help. Father, we pray that we would understand how small we are and how inadequate, and how much we need your strength in dealing with the evil forces that prevent us from growing, that keep us unhealthy spiritually, and cause us not to grasp Scripture, not to be able to pray, and not be able to trust you. So, Father, we pray that this message that we have studied would be implanted in our hearts, and that we would remember it and apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.